The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, ladies, for that. Wasn't that good? Did a great job. Thank you for that. Take your Bible and go back to Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. Look at verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Then he says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they," talking about what we just talked about, not forgetting the law, keeping the commandments, "shall they add to thee." I want to speak this morning on the art. Now think about this, if you will, the art of waiting for the fulfillment of God's plan. The art of waiting for the fulfillment of God's plan. I love history. I love to be able to read history. I like stories that are long. I like stories that are short. I like the stories that are concise, that has a lot of different truth to them. I was reading a story just a couple weeks ago, and it was about the Winchester Mansion. It's in San Jose, California, and of course, Sarah Winchester is the one that completed, if you would, that which is the construction of it. But let me tell you about it. She started it in 1884. She didn't complete it until 1922, the day of her death. So for the span of 38 years, she built. It is one of the largest mansions in the United States of America. She had this phobia about her, and she was working the carpenters round the clock. She had the phobia, believing that if she did not add continually to the mansion, that it was haunted. See, her husband was the inventor and owned the company of the Winchester rifles. And so she thought that the mansion was haunted by all the people that were killed with the Winchesters. So she had this phobia about her, and she thought that those that were haunting it was going to kill her if she didn't keep adding rooms and windows. Now, she built that mansion for many, many years. I'm talking 38 years in the building, from 1884 to 1922, and she just figured that if she didn't add another window, didn't add another wall, she would have steps that would lead up to doors that opened into nothing. I mean, she was just possessed by the thought that people, as far as were coming back in ghost form, and would take her life. It had 10,000 windows in it. It had 160 rooms in one mansion. She spent over $70 million in building this mansion. And to her dying day, she had no peace. To her dying day, she lived an agonizing life. Now, by the way, some people, when they feel like things are not going right, they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to alcohol, they'll turn to wealth, they'll turn to something like that to try to get the substitute, stay with me now, that only the peace of God can give. Because only God can give you peace in your heart. You can't work it up, you can't pull it down. It has to be the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 11, the Bible says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Here's what God says. God said, "I want you to know my thoughts toward you." He said, "My thoughts toward you is not of evil." He said, "Because I want you to be able to walk out to your expected end." And by the way, if God gives you peace and God is the one that institutes peace in your life, then you can have and expect to have a peaceful end. And so this lady did not have a peaceful end. Why? Because she had these thoughts in her mind that ghost was going to come in and to kill her. Now, let me show you some things about how you can have a peaceful end. Let me show you the art of waiting for the Lord's fulfillment of His plan in your life. How is it that we can wait for the fulfillment of God's plan in our life? Is God through with you? Is God done with you? Has God wrapped everything up and said it's over in your life, and so therefore you'll not have a peaceful end? No, the Bible teaches us how to wait. Several areas in your life and in my life, should we wait as God encourages us to wait? You know, you have to be very, very careful. The Bible says, and giving us warning, make not haste. So we have to be careful in not making hasty, irrational decisions in our life. Now, how is it that we can wait on the Lord? Well, let me give you just a couple of things. The Bible talks about waiting patiently. Now, what do you do? In order to wait patiently, you have to build up your faith. It is hard not to be able to wait patiently if the faith is not what it ought to be. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, I stand upon my watch, I set it up upon the tower, I will watch and see that he will say unto me that what I shall answer when I am reproved. So here's the watchman, and he is standing up, and he's watching, and he's waiting. So he's watching. You know, sometimes we watch for what we call golden opportunities to be able to serve Jesus Christ. I watch some of our ladies come up here, and they watch for a golden opportunity to be able to help with a fence, or a golden opportunity to be able to decorate something that was on the platform, or a golden opportunity to be able to spend time with another lady in the church. All right? Now, here we see in the book of Habakkuk that we see that here he is standing up and he's watching. So what is it that we ought to do? Well, we ought to wait prayerfully as the Lord works in our life, and watch what God does in our life. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, the Bible says, watch ye therefore and pray always. So God says we're supposed to watch and to pray. So what do? We pray expectantly. But we're praying that God would do something. We're praying constantly. There's an effort there. And so we don't stop praying, we just keep praying. Then we pray accordingly to that which is the Word of God. Now, in order for me to be right with God, what I need to do, I need to check off a list to make sure that I am in the prayer mode, to make sure that I am in the place where God can certainly answer my prayer. So I've written down just a little checklist this morning that's a Bible-based checklist to make sure that I am waiting on God prayerfully. Statement number one, there's the relationship check. The relationship check. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. It says, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. So God says this. God says that there's got to be that relationship check so your prayers are not hindered. So the Bible plainly teaches if you're not right with your husband, yea, right with your spouse, then your relationship with him is hindered, whereby you cannot receive answer to prayer. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, and when ye stand praying, it says, forgive. It says, if ye have aught against any. All right, so maybe in a relationship, there's aught against someone. Somebody's offended you, somebody hurt you, somebody did something wrong. Okay, then what do? You forgive that person, that your Father also, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So there's got to be in that relationship of waiting on God, a relationship check. Is the relationships right? It's hard to wait on God if you don't have relationships right. Then there's got to be the motive check. Why do we do what we do? James chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. All right? So sometimes it's hard to wait on God if we don't have the right motive. You know, why are we praying for this? Why do we want this? Why is it imperative that we try to bring this in our life? Is it the right type of motive? You know, that you want to have that type of relationship, or you want to have that type of style or something like that as a motive. Then there's the lifestyle check. The Bible says over in James chapter 5 and in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So what do to be healed? Here's what you do to be healed. You confess your faults one to another, and then you pray for one another. Then the Bible says the absolute end result of that is that you're healed. So you go to your husband, you go to your wife, you go to your child, you go to your parent, and you say, look, you know, I am sorry, I fell short on this, and I want you to pray for me, I'm going to be praying for you, and there's that healing in that relationship. There is that healing in that relationship. So you ought to be able to trust your spouse, you ought to be able to trust your parents enough to be able to go to them and look for healing as the end result, as the end result. Don't go in as a lawyer trying to prove your case. More relationships are damaged because a spouse will get ammo and they go in looking for that which is the wife or looking for that which is the husband and say, well, let me tell you, this is... No, don't do that. You always go wanting a relationship to be made right. You always go wanting a relationship to be healthy. Wanting a relationship to grow. That's the same way it is with friendship. You go looking for a way to make the relationship better. You don't look for ways that it's wrong, but you look for ways to help it. Look for ways to make it better. Okay? James chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says again, he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. It says, that ye may consume it on your lust. So ask with the right motive. Now, wait a minute, watch this. There's the lifestyle check. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, the Bible says, the Lord is far from the wicked and he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And so what do? We pray. That lifestyle, that righteous lifestyle, there's something about just living a right life that helps you to be able to get your prayers answered. You know, so when you live that right life, now I'm talking about when you have these things in order, relationship, check, it's easier to wait on God. Motive, check, easier to wait on God. Lifestyle, check, easier to wait on God. What about your faith? James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing wavering. All right, so what about that faith? Is your faith where it ought to be? Somebody said the acrostic to faith many years ago was forsaking all, I trust him. All right? So what do? We forsake all to be able to trust him. What is your faith like? Do you trust him for answered prayer? Do you trust him to give you wisdom? Do you trust him for insight? Do you trust him to help you to carry on for the next day? So there has to be, I'm talking about this morning, how is it that we can wait on God prayerfully? You know, instead of trying to work this out or work that, hey, that relationship, check, is it what it ought to be? That motive, check, is it what it ought to be? That which is a lifestyle, check, is it what it ought to be? That which is a faith, check, is it what it ought to be? Then God's will. Is it God's will? Dear God, I pray. Some young college guy says at our Bible college, dear God, I pray that you would give me a girl. Well, you better be careful. You might get what you pray for. Hello? I never will forget. When I was in Bible college, I walked in that Bible college, Brother Nash, and all these guys had suits on. And some of you remember my green suit story. Boy, I began to pray. I said, dear God, everybody's got a suit but me. God, would you please give me a suit? And God, Brother Chris, gave me a suit, bright, green, fluorescent suit. I was the talk of the campus. And man, I thought, man, you've been so good. And I thought everybody was smiling at me as I walked down the hallway because they were jealous. I thought, yeah, you're just envious, aren't you? I mean, these guys had blue suits on. I mean, they had gray suits on. They had black suits on. And here comes Mike Wells walking down the hallway, bright green fluorescent suit. Then later on, I found out they were not laughing with me. They were laughing at me. And so I read a verse one night. The Bible says, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I found a guy that needed a suit, and I thought, well, dear God, if I sew it, you're going to give me another one, but this time I'm going to pray specifically. And I did. I did not pray for a suit that time. I prayed, dear God, would you give me a black suit? And he gave me a black suit. Then I prayed for a dark blue suit, and he gave me a dark blue suit. Hey, can I tell you that we have what we ask for, and so you have to be careful that you ask for what you would like to have, because you just might get it if you're not careful. I remember first time I was working at UPS. I'm sorry, he works at FedEx, but I was working at UPS, and I was inviting my co-workers to come to church, and I was riding a 10-speed bike, and I was going down. I couldn't figure out how to get the bodies on the bike, and so I said, "Dear God, would you please give me a car? If you give me a car, God, I promise you I'll use it for you. I'll pick people up. I'll go soul winning. I'll make visits for the pastor. God, if you just give me a car, I promise you that I will use it for your honor, for your glory. So God, would you please give me a car?" And boy, God gave me a car. I drove that thing for about 4 months or so, and the motor blew up. Then I prayed for a car. You remember the story? Prayed for a car, said, "Dear God, give me a car with the motor works." And he did. And the transmission went out. After having it 6 months, second car. I said, "Dear God, please give me a car where the motor works and the transmission works." And he gave me a Plymouth Duster sitting up high in the back. I mean, this thing was nice, envious to all those that were college students that were males. I mean, this was a nice, jacked up Duster. And boy, I tell you what, I drove that thing for about a year or so. And one night I was coming home late, and I tried to find the brake pedal, and it had propelled up underneath the steering column, so I looked like a guy that was dancing. And I was trying to find that thing. I couldn't find that thing anywhere. I rode, and I was going pretty fast. I went through that stop sign. I hit a Cadillac broadside. I bounced off the Cadillac, hit a tree in a front yard of a neighbor's house. I totaled that car. Back then, I wasn't too smart. I just carried liability. And so, boy, I tell you what, that guy that had that Cadillac, he was a good Christian. He sued me. And boy, here I am. I've got a lawsuit hanging over my head because I hit him and I had just liability. And so so the car didn't get replaced. I mean, nothing. And here I am. And so then I begin to pray, "Dear God, please would you give me the money to pay for a lawsuit. Dear God, would you please give me a car?" And so I said, "With a motor, it works, and a transmission, it works, and brakes that work." And he did. And he gave us the ugliest car you ever saw in your life. My brother-in-law gave it to me, and he didn't believe in shining it right. And so what he would do is, it was a white car, and he thought the way to keep anything white is to use bleach. So he put bleach on the car. Now, you know, you put bleach on a car, it's going to take that shine off. And so I had me a car that was sort of like a flat type of paint. You could take your finger and go like this and come off white. But that car, we drove that thing all the way to New York City. We had that car for many, many years. Now, wait, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying when it comes to patiently waiting on the Lord, you patiently wait on the Lord. And when it comes to praying, you patiently wait on the Lord as you do pray. And you trust the Lord and you ask the Lord to do that work, but you wait patiently on it. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to build your faith. He will build your faith. He would take, and as you come to him and you pray and you rely on him, and sometimes I think maybe the Lord's just kind of smiling a little bit. Dr. Rice used to say that his brother Bill used to drive all these nice Cadillacs, and he'd go into the barber shop, and people would say, "Oh, you preachers, you know, you money-grubbing preachers, look at you, you're driving a nice Cadillac." And brother Bill Rice used to say, he said, "God's been pretty good to me. What's your father done for you?" And of course, he was talking about people not saved. Well, Dr. Rice thought, you know, I tell you what, my brother Bill, you know, he's getting all these nice cars and stuff like that. And so he began to pray. He said, "God, would you give me a car?" And he drove an Oldsmobile. He said, "Would you give me a car?" And God gave him a car. And his brother said, "If you would have asked for it 5 years earlier, you might have got it." You know, sometimes I think what we do is this. We say, I'm not going to pray, and we have part of this right. We wait and we wait. Well, God, if it's your will, this will happen. Well, God, if it's your will, maybe this will happen. Hey, did you ever think that maybe God loves you enough to answer your prayer? Did you ever think that maybe God loves you enough and cares about you enough to be able to come through and to help you with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your work? Did it ever occur to you that God loves you enough to be able to hear you when you pray and we have not because we ask not, and God wants you to come to Him and God wants you to open up your heart and open up your life and pray and let God be God, let man be the liar, but God be the one that answers prayer. I'm saying this morning, how is it that we can take and wait patiently on the Lord? What is the art of waiting as we expect God to fulfill His plan for our life? Statement number one, here's what we do. We wait prayerfully on the Lord. That builds your faith. Statement number two, we wait actively. Actively. Now here's what that does. That builds others. When you're waiting patiently on the Lord, it builds you. It builds you. You're waiting for God to do something. As you pray, you're patiently waiting as you pray. It builds you. Nobody can pray for you like you can pray for you. Nobody can be a person that gets their prayers answered for you like you get your prayers answered for you. But now, wait a minute. That is for you. Now, how can you help others as you practice the art of waiting as you fulfill the will of God and waiting for His plan to take place in your life? Here's what you do. You wait actively. You build up others. Build up others. You wait actively. Here's what the Bible says in the back of chapter 2 and in verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord answered me and said, write, it says, the vision, and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. So what's he saying? He's saying, look, you use your ability to help others. It was Paul that said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2. He says that ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read, it says, of all men. So God says that you are somebody's walking Bible. Somebody's going to live the way that you are projecting Christ. Somebody's going to look at you and say, oh, that's the way a Christian's supposed to act. Oh, that's the faith that a Christian's supposed to have. Oh, that's the way a Christian's supposed to react when there's a challenge. You know, the greatest teacher that is in your home is you. You know, the greatest person that's in your relationship is you. And somebody's going to watch you. When you're walking along and all of a sudden you trip and you fall down, they're going to watch to see your reaction. They're going to watch to see if you said anything. They're going to watch to see if you got back up. Or they're going to watch if you just laid down there in misery. Oh, the other day I was preaching and it was on a Sunday night. I don't know if these guys caught it or not, but it was on a Sunday night and I was pretty active in the message. And so I was walking across here and then sometimes I shoot up these steps pretty good. And I shot up these steps and boy, I started hitting the pulpit and I jumped up. And when I came down, I landed on my ankle sideways. I mean, it just hurt. And so I'm standing up here as I'm preaching. And boy, I'm just going like this, just trying to get it, you know, because you can't see it there, but now I'm telling on it. But you know, I'm just going like this, trying to get that back in slot there, you know. But I didn't say anything. Now why? Because the preacher is really not the important one. It's that Bible that's the important thing. It's that truth that's the important thing. So you actively be able to read that Bible, actively be able to let that Bible be read through you, actively spread out that Bible to be able to help others come to know Christ as Savior. Brooke was brought by her mom and dad and came in my office this past week, and Brooke is 10 years old, and we sat there in my office, and I took time with Brooke, and we went through the Bible and showed Brooke her need of receiving Jesus as her Savior, and a very sharp young lady, as you know her. And boy, she just smiled and was kicking out the answers just like that. And she bowed her heart, and she asked Jesus to come into her heart. And boy, she was so excited. She's going to be baptized tonight, but she was so excited about that taking place in her life, and just was just a great joy in answering all the questions right and stuff like that. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. You actively, as you wait on the Lord, you just don't sit down and, you know, you cross your legs and go to hum. No, you actively serve the Lord. Yes. You actively help people. Let people see your faith. Somebody needs to, you say, preacher, I don't have a lot of faith. Use the faith that you have. Right. Amen. Just use the words you have. Do you realize what a testimony that is? Amen. You know, when you're going to work and things are not going right, you could say to your co-worker, you could say, well, you know, maybe we should pray about that. Maybe we should look at this verse. I found a verse the other day, and this verse could encourage both of us. If we would bring, are you listening to me, Christianity back into the eyes of the public again, it could make a difference. Hey, maybe what you ought to do is try and come and visit our church, because I know you can get some help there. Just the little things could make a big difference in somebody else's life. We had a young couple came here and visited, and I went over to the home, and I said, well, what brought you by? They said, well, we're over in the park. Over in the park. A little bitty kid came up, gave us one of those tracts, those pieces of paper they call it, one of those pieces of paper that had a little child on it with kisses all over the face. Said, that's why we came. Because of a little kid. Just a little boy going out and passing out a piece of paper, a gospel tract. Can I tell you, as we wait on the Lord to fulfill His plan in our life, what do? We wait prayerfully, and we wait actively. You be actively serving the Lord. Actively. We had Spirit Week this past week in our academy and also in our college. I was talking to the men that's in charge of those institutions, Brother Butler and Brother Crutcher, and I was talking to them, and I said, you know, if we're going to do Spirit Week, I think we ought to do it the same week. And have the college do it the same week as the academy does it. I never saw girls do their hair in so many different ways in all my life. I never saw so many funny hook and hats. We had a hat and a hair day in all my life. We had a professional Sunday, and I said, well, you know, different ones dressed up according to the profession that they believe God would have them to fulfill in our academy. And boy, you had little boys dressed up, and they would say, I'm going to be a lawyer. One little boy wore a football outfit in. He said, I'm going to be a professional football player. You know, we had different ones. Girls dressed up as nurses, and people dressed up, if you would please, as construction workers and as truck drivers and all sorts of stuff. Now wait a minute. What is that? That is teaching the children that you can actively go after some goals. You can actively pursue something. You can actively serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can actively have fun. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, I'm a Christian, but I just don't think I can have fun. Well, pity on you. But you can actively have fun in building other people up. It's encouraging. It's helpful to see. I love it. I came in for the ladies' conference every so often. I come in and introduce some books, or I introduce my wife, welcome people there, of course, that came and stuff. And every so often, I would pass by the monitors out here. And when they did the game times, now not always did they have the monitors on, but a couple of times they had them on. And one of the times was when the game time was on, and I was able to walk by, and I watched them up here. They had this big stand up here, and they were making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I guess that's what it was. And one of the little girls that was in the ladies' conference just took the jelly that was in the thing, and she had the idea. She just dumped the whole thing out. I mean, all of a sudden, this just go, poof. And then she just took her knife and went like that. Took the peanut butter. I mean, she had it all done probably in about a half a minute. Put it together and held it up. I had three of Brother Lofton's little boys out there, and I said, you know what we ought to do is send your boys in, because after she got done, I said, we ought to just send those boys in and let them run down here and say, I'm hungry. Now, we're active. Active. You know, to actively do stuff. You know, you have to, if you want a sandwich made, sometimes you can't wait on somebody else to make your sandwich. You have to make your sandwich. If you want somebody to pray for your family, you can't always rely on the preacher. You can't always rely on the Sunday school teacher. You have a God. You can pray. I'm saying this, wait prayerfully on him. Statement number two, wait actively on him. Statement number three, I'm done. You ready? And this sums it up. Just wait patiently. Just wait patiently. So as you're waiting on him, you wait prayerfully. Dear God, I really need you to work this out. God, would you please help this person? Would you please work in this person's life? Dear God, we need this in our family. And God, would you please supply this need? God, I need a new job. God, I need a raise. God, I need my children need shoes. Or God, you know, that car is misfunctioning. And God, I need somebody to help. And you pray about things. Get yourself a prayer list and write it down and check things off when God answers prayer, but actively put feet to that which is your prayers yourself. Don't just say, dear God, please give me food. Look for ways to make some money to buy some food. Look for ways to be able to actively pursue some of the things that God is allowing you to have in your life. Statement number three, and I'm done. Here it is. Wait patiently. What is that? That's building up your character. You know, the hardest thing to do in all the world, I believe, is wait. Just wait. Our college guys, I got to get married now. Our college girls, I wish God would send me a man now. Now, sometimes it's hard, but just wait. Just wait. Well, I wish the grandkids would come over and visit. And then you say, I can't wait for them to leave. Learn to wait. Man, it's hard. Man, I wish my wife would get that recipe right. She's tried it 105 times. But it's the 106th, 16th, or 62nd time that she'll get it right. You just wait. I first started dating Mrs. Wells. I learned what it was to wait. Man, I get there a little bit early. And I think you ladies do that on purpose. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. I don't think you're right with God. But I remember going to her house and her parents, of course, being there and whatnot. Her dad would be in the living room and whatnot. And I would just wait for her to come out, and I'd just wait. I didn't go to see her dad. I didn't go to see her mom. I went to see her. I just wait. You know, and you ever do this? You ever watch water boil? Takes a long time. Come on. You're sitting there and you think it's going to happen. Or you're hungry. You say, man, I'm going to do a quickie. I'm going to eat a hot dog. You throw it in the water. Takes forever. You could have had 5 steaks by then. You just wait and wait. Wait. Hey, waiting, I'm telling you, waiting is a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. You know, Thursday's my busiest counseling day. Thursday's busy for me. People make appointments to come in for counseling. They'll call the church office, talk to my secretary, and they'll make an appointment, 15 minutes, 30 minutes or so, to come in, get some advice, maybe get some counsel about a directive in life or whatever. And so from about 12:30 to 6:30, it's nothing but counseling, solid counseling. Just one person after another. And people come and they'll sit in the black chairs just like they make an appointment with a doctor. And so they'll come in, sit in the black chairs. And so just one after another. Same thing on Sunday night, same thing on Wednesday night. And so I do a lot of counseling during the week. Now, wait a minute, watch this if you would please. And you know, sometimes a person has to sit there and wait. You know, and it takes patience to be able to wait. And to be honest with you, sometimes, you know, when I'm counseling somebody, I'll get tired a little bit. Is that okay? I'll get tired a little bit, and I can't wait till I get done, because at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock is when Brother Yao comes in, and normally we have our bus meeting then from 6 o'clock to about 7 o'clock. So I'm meeting with the bus director from 6 to 7 o'clock every Thursday night, and normally Brother Yao will call me up, and he will say, "Hey, preacher, can I pick you up a sandwich?" Brother Yao has become my best friend on Thursday. He'll say, "I'm going by McDonald's. I'm going by what?" And he'll say, "Can I pick you up a sandwich?" I say, "Well, I like that premium wrap. One's got chili in it." Woo! "Pick me up four of those, would you?" I'm just kidding, just one. I'll say, "Pick that up, bring it." And boy, he'll pick that up, Brother Nash. He'll come in. I have my French fries and my premium chili wrap. Nice, hot cup of coffee. He comes in. We pray together. We sit around that desk together. The first thing we do is eat, because that's the most important thing of the hour. Then after we eat, we'll start talking about bus ministry needs and people and stuff like that, to be able to put them in different posts. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you? But sometimes my old stomach, boy, you know, about 3:30, it begins to holler, "Have you forgotten me?" About 4:30, a little bit more. About 5:30, it's like, "Okay, you don't love me no more, do you?" All of a sudden, he shows up. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes it builds character to wait. To wait. I remember the longest time I've ever fasted, I think, was 38 days. And I remember, you know, when you first start a fast, it's hard. The first 3 days are the killer, because you're smelling food that doesn't even exist. And man, you begin to fast and pray, and of course fasting, you just don't eat, you know, and you maybe just take water or juice or whatever type of fast you're going to do. And I remember doing that. I remember doing that 1 year when I was here, and it's like, oh. And can I tell you, watch though, but after about the fourth day, Brother Nash, the hunger pains go away. People can come and eat in front of you. You don't care. They can blow it your way. It doesn't matter. Now, can I tell you, watch this if you will. You patiently, patiently wait on God. Let me give you this. I'm done. Here we go. Over in Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "For the vision," it says, "is yet." Says, "For an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie." Says, "Though it tarry, wait for it." You know, sometimes we just have to wait for things. Noah waited for 120 years. It was Abraham waited till he was 99, until the promised son came along. It was Moses that waited for 40 years on the backside of the desert. It was Joseph that waited several years in that which was a prison until released and later became ruler of Egypt, only second to that which was Pharaoh. You think about that which is David. David waited until the death of Saul before he became king. Jesus waited for 30 years until he started his earthly ministry. So sometimes we just have to decide that here's what we're going to do. We're going to be just a people that's patient. And we're going to wait. Now, as you wait, pray prayerfully. Amen. Prayerfully wait. As you wait, be active. And as you wait, be patient. Have you ever seen somebody that waits, but they're impatient? Years ago, I went into a pastor's office, and I was a little bit running late. I was helping him with a campaign. Something came up, and I was running a little bit late. And I walked into his office, and he had his fingers like this. You know what that meant? That meant that I was late and he knew it. And as soon as I walked in, for double emphasis, he went like this and then like this. That meant that I was late, he knew it, and I was in trouble. That's what that meant. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Did you know that some people wait impatiently? They wait impatiently. Sometimes people wait and they're very patient. I told people, I said, you can text me, and I promise you within 5 days I'll get back with you. You can email me, I'll get back with you within 5 to 10 days. You can call me, I'll try and get back with you sometime before the end of the day. But if not, don't worry. By the end of the week, I'll call you back. Can I tell you this? Sometimes there has to be that patience. There has to be that patience. Now, let me ask you something. How are you as you're waiting on God? How are you as you're waiting on God?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.